In the legal fight over abortion, the narrative has changed. As anti-abortion activist Jean Mancini wrote in an op-ed in USA Today, her side was often criticized for defending the unborn on religious grounds. Now, she says, science reinforces the notion that the unborn from the moment of conception are persons. The Atlantic quotes young anti-abortion activists who say new technology makes it harder for them to think of the embryo or fetus as unviable. And the article concludes that scientific progress is remaking the debate about abortion, with activists on both sides seeing science as their weapon in a battle over rights. Well, let's take a look, because according to our next guest, the science isn't completely clear. Scott Gilbert is a developmental biologist and professor emeritus at Swarthmore College. Dr. Gilbert, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So take us through this. We hear life begins at conception. When the sperm fertilizes the egg, we're going back to biology class, this creates the zygote. And some people think that that actually deserves personhood. Paul Ryan once backed a bill that would have called for personhood for the zygote. You say what?
Well, one thing I can say with absolute certainty, with no hesitation, is that there is no consensus among scientists as to when human life begins. There are major places where different groups of scientists have claimed humanhood might begin. One is at fertilization. That's where some geneticists have said it was. It's when we get our genome. And this is the type of personhood that is advertised by 23andMe. You are what your genome says you are. Mm-hmm. But as you know, you're much more than your genome. And it is not scientifically true that you become a unique individual there. And many embryologists have pointed out that the zygote starts dividing. And when it divides, it can become twins. Mm-hmm. It can become triplets. The individuality is not set at fertilization.
Well, many of those fertilized eggs don't make it through the rest of the process.
That's exactly correct. If you had 20 sperm meeting 20 eggs, only about 14 will implant into the uterus and start a pregnancy. Of those 14, only 6 will become babies. There's a wonderful statement by a bioethicist, Michael Sandel. So Michael Sandel said, if the embryo loss that accompanies natural procreation were the moral equivalent of infant death, then pregnancy would have to be regarded as a public health crisis. Alleviating natural embryo loss, he said, would be a more urgent moral cause than abortion, in vitro fertilization, and stem cell research combined.
Because so many embryos are naturally lost.
Exactly.
Well, there's another group that believes that, and this is scientists, that life begins around when a successful embryo successfully implants in the uterus. This is around 12 to 14 days in. Another group thinks life starts around week 24 to 28. This is when brain waves can be detected. Tell us more about that thinking.
Sure. The day 14 rule is a kind of unofficial rule in human embryology research that says day 14 is really the last day that you can form twins. Day 14 is when the body parts start being told what they are to become. All these cells are now being told you're going to be a gut cell, you're going to be a brain cell. So that's the kind of rule that you become an individual about 2 weeks after fertilization. Now, the acquisition of the EEG pattern of brain waves is another very interesting place where a group of scientists have said this is when humanhood begins, this is when personhood, rather, begins. And this is because the EEG, the electroencephalogram, is considered the prerequisite of consciousness. Now, we are willing to say in the United States that when you see flatlining, when the brain waves disappear, that's death. So it would be symmetric to say that conscious life begins when you acquire that EEG pattern. And that begins around week 26 to 28 weeks.
Yeah.
So we have a situation here where some people say it's at fertilization, some people say it's at gastrulation when twinning ends, some people say it's when you acquire the EEG pattern at about 26 weeks, and other people will say it's at birth when you take your first breath and the heart changes.
Talk about that, because this is a group of scientists that think life starts when you take that first breath, because that's when the heart fully forms. They believe it doesn't fully form until then. Which is the
right.
most, of all these that you've laid out, which is the most widely held? Because we don't hear a lot. Many scientists are reluctant to even speak about this because it gets so weaponized by each side.
It gets weaponized by each side, and a lot of scientists will just say it's the wrong question. That there is no one time when you could say for all embryos that before that it's not a person, after that it is a person. So there's this notion of a gradual acquisition, and the notion that many people want to pinpoint a stage, you know, at which personhood begins, probably is a holdover from the belief that, you know, a soul descends upon formerly soulless living stuff, transforming that into person. You know, we want an ensoulment period. And science said, we can't tell you that. That's not what we deal with. And so a lot of scientists remain quiet, I think, because scientists often feel this is not a scientific question.
It feels like at one time it was so much easier because it was thought the quickening was thought to be the time when a mother felt a baby kick. This is around 20 weeks, and that's when it was believed that unborn received a soul.
Right. Animation means, you know, both movement but also a soul, an animus, a mover.
Huh.
Yeah.
But now expectant mothers can hear a heartbeat or at least some cardiac activity. We know that an embryo does not have a heart, but at 6 weeks you can detect some cardiac activity. They can watch this embryo grow to a fetus on a sonogram. It has certainly changed the way people perceive pregnancies. As we said, anti-abortion activists are seizing on a lot of what this science is showing us as proof that there is life. Scientists, as you say, are not entirely as a group sure.
Right. Nor do many scientists consider it a scientific question.
Yeah.
And but certainly, you know, to answer the question you brought up originally, is science supporting the anti-choice zygote rights people? Is science supporting them? No. There's no new data that supports such claims. The data is just as equivocal, just as able to be used by anybody as it was before. There is nothing new so far as I know.
Is this a big conversation in your field?
No. I don't think it is. It's certainly not something that comes up at meetings or in symposia. I think that the people who are thinking most about when human life begins are the people who are involved in early pluripotent stem cell research. But in embryology per se, it's not something that comes up in our research agendas very often.
Do you think that should change given the debate over it?
I think that
or is it just unanswerable?
Well, I think that scientists should become aware of the different possibilities if they are not already and be willing to talk about them both in public and to their students. Often this doesn't even get brought up in classes. And I think that's a mistake. I think, you know, it's kind of an immoral act not to teach scientists about the ethical questions in their discipline. The education of scientists definitely should include, you know, questions like when does human personhood begin and what are the possibilities now given our better technology?
Professor Scott Gilbert, a developmental biologist and professor emeritus at Swarthmore College and the University of Helsinki. Dr. Gilbert, Scott, thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very glad to have been able to speak.